And now we present your speaker, Trent Key.
Jerry was an individual just like you and I. He strove to do what was right in this life. He had a good family. He had four beautiful children. He had a wife that stood by his side, was married for 13 years, had a well-paying job in the community. But yet, over time, Jerry became distant from his family. His co-workers noticed that over time he was becoming more and more tired as he was coming into work the next day. And yet, his family was not seeing so much of him anymore. Jerry was removing himself from his very own life. And one specific day, the family had gone out to participate in a family event. But yet Jerry made an excuse, as he always did, that he was going to stay at home and work in the office and do what work required him to do. The family came home a little bit early that day, and Jerry was seen on the computer doing something that he ought not have been doing. His 11-year-old daughter walked through the doors of his office and was just distraught about what she had seen on that computer screen. And she immediately began crying and running to her mother and telling her mother what Daddy was doing. Can you imagine what that did to that 11-year-old girl who saw those explicit images? Tonight I want us to take a look at the subject of pornography because it is a very real subject that needs to be discussed in our society today. Many of you might be sitting here tonight saying, well, I don't believe that pornography is a problem within the Lord's church. You need to think again. The statistics for pornography in the life of Christians just continue to elevate time and time again, year after year, day after day, month after month, more and more Christians are being involved in this sin of adultery of the heart, as was read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and following. Whenever we look at the term pornography, or the term that we're going to be looking at specifically, the term pornography in the Greek language is broken down into two specific words. Those words are not important for our study, but the meaning thereof is. The meaning breaking down for the first one means that of prostitute. The second word that we are describing is to write, or I write, or I record. So whenever we break down the word pornography and those two Greek words combined, it simply means a written or illustrated depiction of prostitution. That's what we're talking about tonight. And I want us to see that this is a very real subject that needs to be discussed with old people, but also with young people alike. And we are going to see why it needs to be discussed more readily as we open up our Bibles and we open up the statistics that our world has supplied us with to see how real this issue really is. There's a man by the name of Paul Fishbin. He is the founder of Adult Video News. And he said it this way, and I believe it to be very true. Porn does not have a demographic. It goes across all demographics. Tonight, let us begin by looking at the statistics of pornography. I want us to understand that there was an article that was written by CNN back in April 2007 that stated that 70% of Christians struggle with pornography and explicit images as such on a daily basis. Now, granted, this is not Church of Christ Christians. This is not the Christian use that we use. This is a broad term. Throwing it out, was written by a secular person, so therefore they're going to use that term very loosely. But yet, across the board, religious people, I believe we would be safe in saying that, 70% proclaim a daily struggle with this issue every single day. The average American will see over 15,000 sexually references on TV alone each year. Do we understand why it's such a big problem? It's because it's before us every single day. We open up the newspapers, there's more than likely something that's on that front news line that is showing a person exposing them of something that ought not to be seen only within the marriage relationship as God has defined it. We turn on our TVs and we go online and we go in all of these different fashions and we see all of these different things, whether they are very explicit or whether they are just minutely explicit, they are exposing us to this greater problem of pornography. The average age in which children are first introduced to pornography by way of the internet is the 11 years of age. And I would say that that statistic originally came out in 2010, that statistic is probably lowered as I'm speaking to this point tonight. Most first encounters with pornography are not intentional, but yet they are accidental. They stumble into it, as many people will say. And one of the largest age groups that are involved in internet pornography is between the age of 12 to 17. Parents, it's time that we make sure that our kids are being talked to about this specific issue. Because whether they have been introduced to it already or they will be introduced to it at some point in their life, we need to understand as parents our great responsibility of how to help guide them through this temptation that Satan puts before them. 70% of all internet pornography traffic occurs between the 9 to 5 workday, simply stating that it's not just something that is happening just late at night, and it certainly does, but yet it's happening even in the workplace in which people are getting paid day in and day out to do something other than this sin that is being partaken in. In December of 2000, the National Coalition to Protect Children and Families surveyed 5 Christian college campuses to see how the next generation of believers was doing with regard to sexual purity. You know what they found out? 48% of males admitted to current use of pornography, and 68% said that they viewed sexually explicit websites at school. Christian campuses, again, using that term very loosely, I'm sure. But yet the religious people who claim to have a connection to Jesus Christ, who claim to have a relationship with God, are allowing themselves to become a part of this sin. There are many statistics that are out there, and these next, I believe, will probably be mind-blowing to you because they were to me. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography. That means in the time that I'm making this statement, roughly 5 seconds, over $12,000, $15,000, excuse me, was spent on internet pornography. Over 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography every single second. Over 372 internet users are typing in adult search engine terms every single second. That's a lot. The revenue of the porn industry just continues to grow more and more each year. But here are some things concerning that statistic as well. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States alone. And the income for the pornographic industry is larger than the revenues of the top technological companies combined. And whenever we say that, here are the top ones. Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink. It's greater than all of those combined. Another statistic tells us that there's $57 billion spent annually on these images and these videos. $12 billion is spent right here within the United States of America. Again, ABC, CBS, and NBC combined make $6.2 billion. So just in the United States alone, pornography is reigning over these top three major television productions. In our country, we are facing a lot of trouble. And I want us to understand why. Let us look into why this is becoming more and more of an issue. What are the factors that are playing, that are making this such a big problem in our society? Number one, accessibility. accessibility. Literally millions of porn websites are available at anywhere you want to go. Many of us have these things called cell phones. We can't go away from home without them. We have to be glued to them. And the cell phone industry has allowed the accessibility of these images to even grow more and more. The affordability as such is another factor. A lot of these images, a lot of these videos that are out there online are free. You no longer have to go into a convenience store or wherever they were sold at one time to make yourself known and to put money out to get these images, but yet you can go online and they are there at your fingertips for free. But also the fact that it is so anonymous. The fact that no one has to know that you are viewing these images, but yet you can just do it in the privacy of however you want to do it, and you are there, whether in your home, whether in your office, in your car, wherever you want to be. Don Blackwell, many of us are familiar with him, he added a fourth factor, and that is that of addiction. Pornography is addicting, and this next point we're going to explore, two points later, we're going to explore why it's so addicting. There are chemicals that are released in our brain that make this so addicting to where people want more and more and more. But also, let's face reality with this sin. There are lies being told to those who are viewing such images. There are many lies that are being told. Number one, the first lie that is told is that everyone is doing it. It is okay to view these images. I remember being in high school and hearing many guys a lot of times. It's now a girl problem as well. We need not leave them out at all. But yet in my day, whenever I was in high school, there were a lot of guys talking about this fact and that so-and-so was doing it and, well, it's just a natural thing and everybody's doing it, so therefore that makes it okay. But yet if we're going to say that, then what's to say that you can't use marijuana on occasion? What's to say that you can't have an alcoholic beverage? There are many people that are saying those things are okay. In fact, our government even has legalized some of those in certain realms to where they say it's okay, but does that make it biblically accurate? Absolutely not. You and I understand that this is a lie. Another lie is that viewing it as a couple will enhance our marriage. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but there are people out there that believe that if they can view these images as a couple, that it's going to increase their sexual desire for one another, that it's going to help them grow closer and closer together. But the simple fact of what we're going to see a little bit later is that it's going to tear you apart as a family. That is another lie that is told to people whenever they view these explicit images. We also understand another lie that's being told is that women want sex all the time. If you view these images, that's the picture. That is the image that's being portrayed to these people. In my research, here's what I found out concerning this specific lie. These women, a lot of people say, love to be used, objectified, and want sex all the time. But here's the reality. Porn stars have spoken after getting out of the industry, and here's what they have to say. They share that they are often abused to great levels, whether it be emotionally or having to be abused by inserting drugs into your body, and even that of sexual abuse that is taking place. They are forced to do acts in which they never would do in a normal relationship. Another thing is we need to understand about these people is they're actors. These people are acting in a way that is not normal. And that's what we know about Hollywood. Hollywood portrays the picture-perfect family that has everything together, but in reality, there are hardships that are in this life. And you and I need to understand that about these women and these guys that are even selling themselves in this way. They are actors and actresses that are trying to sell a product and make it look to its best and sell it to you. Luke Gil Kirkson made this statement. He wrote a book called Your Brain on Porn. He said, "The onslaught of porn does not train men to value women as people made in the image of God, but instead trains people to see fewer and fewer women as porn worthy." That's the problem that we face here in our world today. Some even say that it relieves stress. Others will say, well, men are just more sexual than women are. Therefore, that excuses everything. It does not excuse anything. These are lies. These are excuses. And that's all they simply are. There are effects that pornography has to those who participate in this sin. What are those effects? The first is that it affects the brain. It affects the brain. There are different neurotransmitters that are released in our brain at many aspects in our life, and we don't even know that they're being released whenever they are released into our body. But one of the neurotransmitters I'd like to talk about tonight is that of dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is responsible for helping us remember where to satisfy our natural drives and desires. For instance, if I'm thirsty, I know that I can walk out into the hallway and find a water fountain out there and fulfill that natural desire that I have. If I'm hungry, I know that I can step out of this building and I can find a local restaurant and I can fulfill that desire that I have to go and feed my stomach. Think about that whenever it's tied to sexual gratification. Dopamine supplies a great sense of pleasure, and especially whenever it's released for sexual pleasure. It seems to be released even more whenever sexual pleasure is a part of the process. It helps us remember where we got maybe, I'm going to use this loosely, our last fix. Whenever it is present, whenever it's present in a secure and healthy marriage, it is going to bring a couple so close and intimately together as they should in that marriage relationship. And it's going to keep bringing them back together for what God designed marriage to be in the very first place. It focuses on the positives and rejects all of the negatives. It allows a couple to focus on each other, as Don Blackwell had stated in his video on internet pornography's use. It has been directly compared, and this is to show us the power of this specific neurotransmitter. It's been compared that dopamine is similar whenever it's released for sexual pleasure to that of a cocaine addiction. Do we see the addiction of pornography right there? Dopamine plays a large part in that process of wanting more and more and getting better and better. The longer that porn is viewed, the more dopamine is released, giving the body an unnatural high. This level leaves the viewer with the desire of wanting more, but it is unable to ever reach true satisfaction. Another neurotransmitter that I'm going to try to pronounce, I'm not an expert on these things, but that's norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is another neurotransmitter that is released. It is whatever is being experienced when this chemical is released. The smallest details that are experienced are seared in the brain like a branding iron. For instance, if one was to view pornographic images in high school, and whenever they have a family of their own, they're living in their 40s, they're living in their 50s, it has been known and all a statistic that those who even are in that state 30, 40, 50 years later can still remember the minute details of those images that were being seared in their mind whenever they viewed those things. Another one is oxytocin. It is often known as the cuddle chemical. It is first discovered in the brains of mothers after holding their newborn children for the very first time. It is also released whenever we hold hands as a couple or whenever we embrace one another with a hug. That is the chemical that is being released. Sexual intimacy, it is released in high desires. But whenever it's released with pornography, the viewer is bonded to the body type and features of those he or she is viewing. Do we see the connection? That neurotransmitter is connecting us to an image just like a newborn babe is connected to his mother's womb right after exiting and being fed and nurtured. It's very dangerous. It's something that we must give attention to. There are also relationship effects that take place. Marital effects, as we described. That man that I described at the beginning, his marriage was over. His wife didn't want to put up with it anymore. And so many families are being destroyed because of these things. Pornography desensitizes the viewer to his or her own spouse. Viewing this makes a person dissatisfied with his spouse, and therefore they're going to view their spouse as an imperfect spouse. And what are they going to do next? More sin's going to come into play. And more people are they're going to look for something that's greater and better and try to replace the spouse that they had. There was a gentleman by the name of Don that was described as having a very very close experience of what we're describing right here. He was married, in fact, it says, for 12 years. And his marriage was fine, but yet he didn't seem... He was starting to get curious. He didn't quite want to... He wasn't getting fed all the things that he needed to. In fact, he said, "I've never been unfaithful to my wife, and nor did I ever intend to be, because that was just morally wrong." That's what he said. You know what he began to do? He began to look at internet pornography. He began to even start to meet people online and form sexual acts online. And next, you know what was in line? He met with the people and adultery had occurred. And he had crossed his line of what was morally wrong and committed adultery on his wife. He never intended to, is what he said. There are also other relationships that are affected, co-workers and such, but also one of the most important is that of the spiritual effects. The spiritual effects that pornography has is that it separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, God cannot even turn His head toward us whenever sin and iniquity are a part of our life. And whenever pornography is a part of our life, God cannot look at us because we are impure in His sight. The prophet Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 2, I believe it's in and around verse 2 and 3, he said, "Your eyes are more pure than to behold that which is evil." God does not like evil and He can't look upon evil. So therefore, you and I need to understand that whenever this sin comes in our life, we are separated from our God. We need to understand that this is a sin that puts junk into our mind. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is of good report, whatever is just, whatever is holy. We need to think on these things, the Proverbs writer Paul says. But also, it sears our conscience. The more and more that we participate in this sin, our conscience is not bothered by it any longer. And there's danger in that. We must not allow ourselves to get to that point. But yet, some might ask, well, why is it sinful? What is the whole sin in all of this? It plainly violates the New Testament Scriptures. We, as was read a few moments ago in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, "And you have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart." So it is like this. And I want us to understand, because some people oppose the question, well, if a man or a woman has viewed sexually explicit material and they have done things in that they should not have done, if they've just viewed it in that fact, does that allow me to get a divorce from them? The Bible says absolutely not. You are still joined together in that unity, but let's look at it in this way. Jesus said, "For he has already committed adultery with her in his heart." I want you to consider this. 1 John chapter 3 gives a depiction of what you and I are to do for our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says that I am to have a love for you and you are to have a love for me because we are one in Christ Jesus. But yet, do you know what he says? If we do not love our brother, but if we hate our brother, how does he describe us? You are like a murderer. Because we don't love our brother, does that mean that we actually committed the act of murder? No. And that's what Jesus is saying right here in adultery. It is just as if they might as well have. But yet they didn't. But it was adultery of the heart. It is a plain violation of the Scripture. Have you also looked at it in this way? It is a form of stealing. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 21, a man was not to covet his neighbor's wife. That was a form of stealing. And you and I also see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 2 through 3, the husband and wife, they belong to one another. And if you take one of them away, you have stolen from that husband that was his spouse, or you have stolen from that wife that was her spouse and taken them out of that relationship. You have stolen an opportunity that is only to be beheld in the marriage relationship. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the marriage bed is not to be defiled. The marriage bed is meant to be for one another and only one another that are joined in that marriage. But also consider this, you're stealing time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, redeem the time for the days of evil, Paul says. You're stealing time that could be spent evangelizing, that could be spent loving your brother and sister in Christ, that could be spent spending time with your family and loving and making those memorable times in your life. Pornography also is a sin because it corrupts the heart. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. Matthew 12 and verse 35, it says, that it might be fulfilled which it was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in the parables, and I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. That was actually chapter 13. Chapter 12, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Whatever comes out of our heart. And eventually, if this is a hidden thing, it will eventually come out of our heart. But it also contributes to other sin. Other sins are going to come forth. Just as that man said, I didn't intend to do these things. One thing led to another, and he saw himself doing what he said he'd never do to begin with. You and I also need to understand that even though that pornography is a sin, even though that it seems as if Satan has clouded our vision with it and that there's no way possible out of these things, I'm here to tell you that there is a way to be victorious over this sin. This lesson was not designed in any way to point out anybody that I know with this congregation that is participating in this, nor did I preach it at Mount Leo with that in mind, and I said that very thing. But yet maybe you know somebody that is participating in these things. You can share this information with them. Or maybe you are secretly involved in these things. You do have help that is out there. Number one, how do we overcome and win in pornography over this battle? We must have a strong desire to overcome it. It is going to be hard. Like I said, it is addicting. But yet, let me make this statement. You cannot go to heaven and view pornography. The Bible just said it in Matthew 5:27. You cannot commit adultery of the heart time and time again and still expect to have a heavenly reward. You must have a strong desire to overcome. You have to have a strong determination to overcome. I want you to understand this, that you can't cut, that you have to cut it off cold turkey. You can't just say, well, I'm going to view it just a little bit this time, and next week I promise I'm going to... You're going to continue to make those promises time and again to yourself. You have to cut it off so cold. You cannot wean yourself off of pornography. If you have a problem, even in this world, with the way that our world dresses, they don't care about immodesty. If you have a problem with the way people are dressing, don't look and lust upon those things. But yet there's a system that I remember Dad even introducing this whenever I was a young boy, whenever he was preaching one time. It's called the bounce system. Your eyes are bouncing from one place to the other. If you see it over here, don't continue to look at it as David did with Bathsheba, but look away and find yourself in a different situation looking at a different thing that is better than that. We must avoid things that stimulate our desires. If we have a problem with this, don't sever the relationship with the things that stimulate you to want to continue. We must control our heart. And one thing that we can do, and I know it's very hard, in the internet world, there are these things called pop-up ads. In fact, that's probably the most common way that people stumble upon it, through pop-up ads. Exit off as quickly as possible. I used this illustration this morning. I preached a different lesson at Mount Leo this morning. But I used this illustration with Joseph today. And Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 and following, the Pharaoh's wife was trying to get him to lay with her. And you know what Pharaoh did? He ran. Even if it meant that he left a portion of his garment, he was out of there. He wasn't going to stick around to test his faith and to see how good of a man that he was to prove to himself and to prove to others and to prove to God. But yet he proved himself by fleeing from the situation. Whenever that pop-up ad goes up, don't linger at that anymore, but exit off as quickly as possible, getting away from it. We also can use Bible study and prayer on a daily basis. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, verse 105. We have to let the Word of God guide us in this life if we hope to have heaven as our reward. We also must have a connection to the Father every single day through the avenue of prayer, making known our petitions, letting our heart's desire be known. God, I'm struggling with this today. Let me overcome. Deliver me, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, from the temptations of the devil. Deliver me that from evil. Do not tempt me with it. We need to understand that the Bible and prayer are given to us as a guide and as an avenue to help us overcome in these things. But also, eliminate the source. I want you to read with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 18, Paul says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." Paul said, "Flee from it." We have a lot of sexual immorality in this life. Sexual immorality that's taking place in adulterous relationships, fornication, homosexual acts, pornographic acts that are taking place. There's all sorts of sexual sins out there that we can become participants of. But as Christians, we have to flee from these things. If it means that we move our computer into a public place in the house, it means that we do so tonight whenever we get home. If it means that we need to get rid of our internet or we get rid of our cable television, we start with a phone call tomorrow morning and we cut off those things. Only have one connection to the internet if that's what it takes for you to overcome this sin. Whenever we talk about this sin, we're talking about matters of spiritual life and death. Heaven or hell, it's so important that we take care of it now instead of pay for it for eternity. We also can change our habits, change our ways. If we find ourselves participating in this sin at a specific time of day, change your habits, change your routine. Go about changing everything. It's going to help in this process. But also, one of the most important parts of this is to get an accountability partner. Have someone that you talk to on a daily basis, or maybe a weekly basis if it can become that at some point, to where you check in with that person and say, you know, I'm tempted with this today, or say, you know, I did great this last week. An accountability partner. That's what we are to be to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. People who help one another get the righteous reward of heaven at the end of life. Tonight I want to share with you a few helps concerning this. There are different helps that you can get concerning your computer. One of those is different software that is out there, and that is CovenantEyes.com. It's one that you're going to have to pay for. And I don't know the price that's out there, but I know many Christians that have gone on this website and pay for the subscription to make sure their family's safe. Also, InternetSafety.com is another one that you have to pay for, but another one is K9WebProtection.com. It's free, actually, and it will do very similar to what the first two will do in protecting you and your family from the harms of Satan in this specific sin. I put this last one up there because I did reflect to Don Blackwell's video on the use of pornography, and I've done a lot of research and a lot of books and a lot of different websites concerning this subject before I presented this material to you tonight. But one of those is thetruthabout.net. Don Blackwell is responsible for that website. He has other things on there, truth about divorce, truth about gambling, and many other different things that are out there. I encourage you to use that resource as you see fit. But tonight, there's one important thing that we have to do, each and every single one of us, and that is what Job did in Job 31 and verse 1. He says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes not to behold a virgin woman." You and I must make a covenant with our eyes. Make a covenant every single day that I'm going to do the Lord's will. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, and allow myself to have my righteous reward of being with my Father in heaven. Tonight it might be that there's somebody here that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation call. Maybe it be that you realize that there's sin in your life and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation call to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, being added to the one true church that Jesus built, Acts 2, 38 and 47. You need to make that decision tonight before it's everlastingly too late. But also, if there is a Christian that is here that is involved in sin, you need to confess that sin before the Father so that He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins.